Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence that just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And today we have a very special guest joining us here in the studio.
Yeah, we do. His name is Jensen Karp.
Hello. Hi, Jensen.
Hello.
I was actually going to do like that thing where you do the introductions, and then like I go, and then in my head I just went, fuck it.
Just
and I
go for it.
And I just went, okay, you know what? His name is Jensen Karp.
A man who needs no introduction. Why do you have the worst collection ever? How does that come together? Just have too much shitty stuff?
Well, yes. This is the origin of the show.
Yeah.
Is so a couple years ago, I got into, because when I was like a teenager, mm-hmm. I was into collecting comics.
Sure, we all were.
I got told that I wasn't supposed to collect comics anymore, so I stopped.
Who did that? Hitler?
Yes.
Okay. So I understand. You knew Hitler. I get it.
Yeah,
okay.
He did. It was a very dark time in his life.
Understood.
Well, no, I mean, it was a thing where I had a lot of friends. It was one of those things where you're like, you know, I was 18, 20, whatever. People were like, you know, comics are for kids. Sean, you got to like go to school and live your life.
Ugh.
So that's what I did.
A terrible career counselor.
Well,
terrible.
Yeah. And so I kind of got out of that. I stopped being into comics for
sure.
A while.
What were you? Then you were just into like girls and monster trucks?
Yeah. You know, and like, you know, I was into alt rock.
Okay. All right.
That was a period. I used to be a jock at an alt rock station.
You're getting cool. Yeah. I understand.
I was being hip.
But that nerd's still reaching in.
No. Yeah. Well, so then met the wife.
Uh huh.
And then we ended up like, she ended up watching some like stuff.
I've always been into the animated.
Okay.
DC animated
stuff.
Understood.
So. And I was like, oh, well, I still have all these superpowers figures. And I was like, let's get back into, you know, let's see what I got.
That was pretty recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, I just kind of was into reading books again. Yeah. And then we started buying some more stuff. And I started
only from dollar boxes.
Oh.
Or less.
So, yeah. So because what happened was,
I wanted to get
into more recent stuff, but I was like, it's too expensive. And then I was like, well, I remember a lot of DC stuff that I used to be really into back in the 80s, back in the early 90s and all that stuff. And I was like, you know, how about I find that? Because that's the stuff that I like.
Okay.
And then we just started buying.
Your garage sales.
And here's the thing. So then we started, and then we just started going around to like all the stores around here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we hang out a lot at the Comic Bug in Manhattan Beach.
Yep.
You know, Jeffries, you know, Heidi Ho.
Is Heidi Ho still there?
Heidi Ho's is still there, but they're owned by Jeffries.
Oh, okay.
So now, which is actually, I like Heidi Ho. Heidi Ho's is cool.
Mm, I used to go there a lot.
But now they're owned by Jeffries, and now they have a lot of their stock, and they know how to sell their stock, where they're like, every couple of months, they'll be like, 50 cent sale, and I'm like, I'm there.
Yeah, my podcast co-host dated a girl who worked at Heidi Ho, and we thought it was like the coolest thing that's ever happened. It was like he dated Beyonce. We were just like, that's awesome. It didn't work out, but that was very cool of him.
It's hip as hell. And so we ended up going to a lot of conventions and a lot of stuff. We're just like, just buying and buying and buying. And we kind of got to this point where we're looking at our collection, and I go, none of this stuff is worth anything.
Yeah.
Because why would anybody go out of the way to purchase
that's a garbage comic. Yeah,
I mean, exactly. But it's something where it's like,
which we'll talk about.
It's very, I have a very fond memories of Guy Gardner Warrior.
That's insane.
This particular book,
or in my not this particular book, because I never read it. But I mean,
but is that like, is that
there's
like
a question?
Is that like the comic book equivalent to like Young MC Bust a Move? Because like you loved Bust a Move when you were a kid, and now you listen to it, and it's like the campiest Pringles commercial. Like, is it similar?
No. This is kind of like for me.
That seems garbage all the time.
No.
This is kind of garbage when it came out.
How would I describe this? This is kind of like I'm trying to think of a shitty good example of a shitty new metal song.
Well, have you seen Spaceballs lately?
Not recently.
I know that people like to talk about the Spaceballs too, and like look back on it and be like, it's the best. It's not the best. You watch it back and it's like not that good.
Yeah.
I mean, I get how it was good when we were kids, but like you watch it now and it's like not that hot.
There's two moments in that movie.
Well, We Ain't Found Shit is funny in any situation.
We Ain't Found Shit.
That's one of them. Yeah.
You already know that. And the one, the video on tape.
Oh, where they're watching Spaceballs the movie?
Yes.
But let me argue, it's actually not the joke you're laughing at. It's the concept you're laughing at.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the joke you're laughing at is We Ain't Found Shit, which still gets a laugh, but almost nothing else in the movie gets laughs.
Right.
It's very weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
so maybe that's the Spaceballs comic.
It could be, but I mean, but there's like a lot of like shitty, like, because I grew up, you know, as being a jock in the radio and stuff like that. And I was, you know, like early late 90s, like early 2000s, like new metal jams, like,
sure.
And it's like, so this kind of, it kind of reminds me of a time back when I was like developing. So I kind of.
That's how I feel about salt and pepper videos. That's where I used to develop as well.
Yeah.
All of us.
So, but yeah, so we got into the buying this and, oh, go ahead.
Well, no, continue. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, just saying, because we got into buying this. I got into, you know, buying stuff like this and buying, like, and I was like, oh, Marvel. It's like my Warlock of the Infinity Watch. I can start finding those.
Right.
And Wonder Man. Wonder Man.
You're collecting commons. Do you remember baseball card commons? You're collecting commons. You don't want any of the stars or rookie cards. You're buying the guys who played for 4 years.
But you're collecting,
And then nobody remembers.
Right.
And definitely not fondly. Yeah, and the things also that's not worth anything.
No,
I mean, like I have a few comics that are worth something. Like my father.
That is a lie.
No, we don't.
Oh, they were handed down, not ones that you bought. Okay,
yeah. But although my father, because he passed away recently, and he was like, you know, I found out, you know, he had like, you know, the first appearance of the Inhumans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had some cool stuff, and then he just collected like Metal Men from like the DC's Metal Men.
That's too deep for me.
Yeah,
it's
but he was like,
but he
had a lot of Metal Men, and he was like really into Metal Men, and I was like, my kid's gonna
find something a little gross as well. I get that. I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah.
So that's always kind of feels like, you know, when people if somebody was like to be like, hey man, what do you got in your books? You know, they would look at it and be like,
this man's a psychopath.
This man has he's ridiculous. He owns all the Eclipsos. He owns. Right. All of this thing. Why does he own this? Like, why? And I'm seeking it out.
I hear you.
And Jen's like, she's seeking out like all the Catwoman's.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Storage wars, but for garbage.
Exactly.
I understand. I get it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but what we should do before we start is actually introduce Jensen.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So I was gonna say, well, first of all, so
Jensen's probably the coolest guy.
Oh, Hollywood. Thanks. Thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Well, because I'm a big fan of yours. Thanks. I have been for a while because I first heard you on Dave Lagana's I Want Wrestling podcast.
That's right. Dave is a good friend. Yeah.
Dave, Dave is a, you know, he's a tight dude.
Yes.
Working for TNA now, and I'm a big wrestling guy.
Yeah. We wrote together on WWE Raw together. Yeah.
Right.
Dave and I.
And I heard that, and then I heard you talk about your podcast, Get Up On This.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'll check this out. And it just was cool to hear, basically, why don't you go ahead and explain Get Up On This?
Basically, my friend Matt and I, who've been friends for over a decade now, we both feel that we are onto things early. Not in a douchey hipster way, but yes, kind of in a douchey hipster way. Mm-hmm. We just see music before it breaks. We're just very good at seeing sort of trends before they happen. And so we've been doing it for 5 years now, and we have a guest on every week. They bring in two things. I bring in two things. Maddie brings in one. And we expose people to these musicians, apps, websites, clothing lines, all sorts of stuff. And we just have a great track record. We were getting people up on Spotify the day it launched. We had the A&R, basically the artist and repertoire for Spotify come on the air and tell us about it. And we've done things like that for 5 years. Musicians, before they break, people like Chance the Rapper or Meg Myers we had on when she was still a waitress here in LA. She just played Coachella this last weekend. So we've been able to grow with a lot of these artists, and it sort of makes us look psychic.
Yeah. And it's a fantastic show because it's not just, you know, it's not just music, but it's like, you know, video games,
board
books,
games a lot,
board games,
comic books. We get people on comic books a lot. Someone got us up on the new Archie run.
Yeah. I heard Mark Waid run.
Yeah.
And also too, I got to say, if you guys are a fan of like just right now, you guys are in the middle of beef season.
It is by far, it will be our legacy. We basically have fans who turn in theme songs, and they're so talented. I know people say that, oh, they're so talented because they're electronic is up to the fans. We have the most talented rap fans I've ever heard of. They release songs that could be on the radio, and it's been going on for years where they send in theme songs. And recently, one of them mentioned another one of them's name in sort of a derogatory way. And since then, it has blown up into a week-by-week beef diss sessions where they send in songs making fun of each other. This next week, it's been happening for 4 or 5 weeks. Fast Co., the website, did an article on beef season. Yeah. We've released a beef season shirt. This next week, we have a ridiculous new release.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
One of them, William Giovanni, who is a very talented rapper and has sort of jumped out of the pack during beef season, he is releasing a full EP.
Oh my God.
Not just one song.
But full of beef, so it's all beef.
It's a stack of patties.
Everyone. It's a triple decker.
Oh my God.
It's a really fun run, and our show gets on tangents like that, so.
It's, yeah. And I was telling Jen that the raps in here have like obscure wrestling references.
Oh God, it's so obscure.
And it's but it just makes me like I'm fired, like I'm getting fired up because I'm like, he's like talking about Brian Pillman with the gun.
Yeah, no,
and like holy shit.
Yeah. The whole thing's based around Bullet Club, basically. I mean this whole thing is it's got so many layers on. You don't only need to know some of the podcast references, you also have to know wrestling references. And then you also kind of have to know rap references. It's a real deep layered system, but it's very fun.
And also real quick too, like it's because like one of work, I'm sitting here and I didn't know about the Fastco article and somebody shared it like on our Slack.
That's so funny.
And then there it's kind of like a thing though where it's a thing for people that are not into podcasting to understand this is a thing you can do.
Yeah.
And that's a part of the community.
It has very little to do with us. They're making the songs. We're just playing them. It just shows these little universes that are being created are so funny and so interesting and so talented. We're blown away. Like Matt and I every week are sending each other the songs we get sent and we listen to them 5-6 times. They're so funny and they're really talented. So
I can't
praise them enough. And it's cool to see have them get some attention.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's
so
awesome.
So also first big reason why we have you here today is that you are releasing a book.
Yes, June 7th, I have a book coming out called Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other True Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big. And basically, I, as a teenager, got into hip hop in a sort of all white neighborhood, was really one of the first people in my entire area to like hip hop and rap. And from there, I just have had a strange career in music. So I was signed at 19 years old after entering a radio contest here in LA. I got $1 million record deal from Interscope and Jimmy Iovine. And from there, I recorded songs with Kanye, clearly, the Black Eyed Peas, Maya, Fabolous, Redman, Sugar Ray, DJ Quick. So many like hip hop legends, and I found myself in situations with people like Cisco writing music for him, and Tyrese and Christina Aguilera, and all these things were happening sort of in early 2000s. So it's a real music industry story, but it's more about a fish out of water and sort of creatively finding yourself as a person, and to find it in such a strange business for me. And that's the whole story.
That's so cool.
It's crazy. I'm telling you, if you even think, most people don't know these stories because I don't tell them, but the things that happened to me as a rapper, and I always look like this. I always look like J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
And so like that kind of facade and what I encountered because of it is just a crazy story.
You've had this very like Homer Simpson-esque life.
Or Zelig. It's very Zelig-y.
Yeah.
It's very Zelig. The fact is that I'm in places and you go, oh, there's that guy. Like, I think I've just gotten lucky in a sense of finding the right situations and then finding early. I'm good at early shit. I'm good at finding stuff early.
So how can people access this book?
Well, it's available for pre-order everywhere you would buy books, but you can just go to jensenkarp.com, KARP.com, and I have all the set places you can buy it early. It's cheapest on Amazon right now, which I think is a phrase that should be like tattooed on everyone who has a book coming out's back. But it's cheapest on Amazon, so if you want to buy it from there. And I've been doing giveaways and stuff on my site, so just jensenkarp.com, you can get everything.
Cool.
Right on. And please, I've had a chance to check out a little bit of it, and it's fantastic. And
you read a bar mitzvah theme chapter, I think.
I did,
I was found at a bar mitzvah. Very weird stuff. And then the Kanye chapter's being passed around to people.
And it's wild because it's one of those things where I could imagine, I don't want to give too much away.
Whatever.
But like, so like about how you got discovered and then you ended up performing the show.
Yeah, for Ice-T,
And for Ice-T. And then like their guys were like, let's go and record you guys, and your mom had come with you.
My mom had to drive me there,
But
to
it's like
gangster rappers' houses in Hollywood,
But it's like just thinking about like, what if that was like my mom?
I don't know.
What if that was like...
I think about it all the time. What if it's my kid? What would I do? I have no idea what I'd do. She was very good, and she knew it. She let me say everything except the F word, basically, in music. And she was, she got it, man. I don't know. She used to drive me down there. She used to stay. I know you read this part.
Yeah.
She used to stay because she was nervous about what would happen if she left me alone. Because these guys are gang members.
Yeah.
I love them very much, but they were actually in gangs.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I don't know, I'm going to hang out. And then eventually we just got hungry. Mom was like, I'm going to go get In-N-Out. It was when Sunset obviously still had an In-N-Out. It still does. And so she's like, you cool here? And I was like, yeah. And she leaves. And they're like, dude, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. One of them showed me his gun. And then Donald D, a rapper, showed me how to put on a condom. In literally the 10 minutes my mom was gone. And I was 12. So keep that in mind. Yeah.
So, so definitely, guys, get on the book, jessicarp.com. But we are here today also to talk about our two books.
Yes.
And particularly, I asked you, Jensen, what books you into. And you, like I said, Marvel, DC.
The easiest answer in the world.
And you came back with Ecstatics.
Oh, please.
So
Ecstatics got me into comic books.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't a comic book reader as a kid. I was in the way, like, I read the Infinity Gauntlet. There were things that, like, you had to read, right? Like, right. those. I was really, like, the most commercial pop person as a child in comic books. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Some things mm-hmm. would come up and I had to buy it. But as far as getting weekly books or buying as many paperbacks as I have now is because of X-Statics.
And that's
because it's good and bad, just for the record.
Well, there's
that's always the best.
It's though. Something yeah. weird too, where it's like I'm reading it and I'm intrigued because it's like it's in the 616, so it's in the main universe, yep. but it's not. But it's also like very different.
It's very strange
from everything. So
the concept being that the X-Force team
right
gets killed basically in the last X-Force comic book,
okay.
and they have to create a new team to take over X-Force. But they don't necessarily need the best team. Mm-hmm. They need the best team, like, for a reality show. And that's it. That's all you need to know.
For optics.
It's basically, yeah, it's to help clean up the image from the X-Force dying. And also, at the same time, like, X-Force isn't, they don't sell any books.
Right.
Like, they're not a cool superpower. So it's sort of postmodernly admitted. And instead of picking the best superheroes, they pick the people they can sell the easiest.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then X-Force, because this starts as X-Force.
It does start as X-Force.
It's called
yeah.
X-Force. Mm-hmm. And then a handful of episodes in, they rebrand the team because they don't like the X-Force name. It has too much shit in it. So they call it X-Statics. And then you're off to the races.
So,
oh, okay,
so
cool.
What we do here is we go basically through the book itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
here, you want to hand this over?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So
and also, there's a superhero, pretty much the leader of X-Statics' name is Mr. Sensitive.
Yeah.
Which, for yes. the record, if I was a superhero, that would be my name.
See, I'm very confused by him because I did the research sure. on the wiki and stuff. And I'm trying to like, okay, so he's basically like a super sensitive daredevil.
Very, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he has to wear a suit in order to not be sensitive.
Right.
Right.
And he's got these weird antlers.
Mm-hmm.
And
it looks like he has a bunch of pimples.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's very awkward. And it's basically X-Statics is you got.
Well, that's another thing. It changes all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Like almost issue to issue, there's a new member, someone dies. That became a thing of X-Statics is like anyone can die at any moment, which was not something
which
in other comics.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were a few other people and it feels like it's such a dynamic situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so you also have the anarchist mm-hmm. who his power is he secretes some sort of,
he's just a dick basically. Well, like yeah. in this
he's
book,
the piece
he's
of shit.
Yeah.
He's the piece of shit, but his,
but is he in the universe outside of X-Statics? I don't think so, right?
No, I think this is basically it.
Except yeah. Dupe, he shows up a lot of places nowadays,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
And
I think he had his own book at one point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, and he's got like, Anarchist has this power where like he's got like the sweat that's like also acid and he shoots it out into like some sort of like beams and he's just a piece of shit.
And it's crazy hard to control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like the idea for a lot of these guys is that they have these powers that are just like batshit crazy, but you know, somehow, thankfully, Professor X is able to help them out.
Yeah, they're the Corey Feldman of superheroes because it's like they're out of control, but they've done some cool things, so you can't completely write them off.
Yeah.
Right. So
also, there's a guy who's running the team.
Yeah,
yes.
in like a very
like a producer kind of
like, a producer.
Yeah, like Simon Cowell kind
yes.
of. Yeah.
Yes,
or in a way also like let's say he's like. If Simon Cowell met Maxwell Lord.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's also Venus de Milo, who basically is just a bunch of energy contained into a human form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm confused because in this one, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And then there's Vivisector, which is such a weird name for a superhero, but basically he's like a female, he's like a male version of Wolfsbane.
But not really. He doesn't think he's a werewolf. That's also part of the problem, right?
Right. He gets offended because somebody actually calls him a werewolf in
this
book.
Yeah, he hates it.
He gets really upset.
I think he just gets hairy.
Yeah.
I think that's his whole gimmick. Yeah, gets super hairy.
He gets claws yes. and teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but coincidentally, not a werewolf.
Yes. Yeah. Don't call him a werewolf.
And there's Fats, who
he just gets fat. It's not even a superhero power. It's just he just gets fat. His glands explode. Yeah. It's incredible.
His glands explode, and he can make his fat hard.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
People. It's the worst Hulk. He's the worst. He's the not incredible Hulk. Yeah, he's the worst.
It's the worst power.
And then there's Dead Girl,
who's great.
Yeah,
and she talks to the dead.
She's
and,
the Doctor Strange of the group.
Yeah,
and she also had her own book, and she's really great.
Yeah.
She's really kind of the glue.
She seems like the kind of like the one that tries to kind of keep people together and tries to kind of maybe like chill everybody out.
She's great.
And because everybody else is so fucking out there.
Yeah. And also, so many people die on this team. She comes in handy a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Dupe, yeah, who's like the camera. Yeah. You're a fan of Dupe?
Yeah.
He's like Slimer, basically. Yeah. Like, he's like Slimer with a camera. Yeah.
It's a copyright infringement.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
He just videos everything, and he's stuck around. He's still in books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's just a glob that films things.
Yeah.
And everybody, he talks in his weird language.
Right. Yeah. People are just like, whatever.
And they made a bust of him.
Marvel did,
yeah. Oh.
Did they?
Mm. Yeah. They didn't even make a shirt for X-Addicts, but they made a bust of Dupe. It's crazy.
So which issue is this?
So, okay, sorry. This is X-Statics number 11 from August 2003.
Yes.
All right. So the story is called Three. Well, first of all, on the cover, it says basically introducing El Guapo, Eye Poppy.
El Guapo.
El Guapo.
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 The handsome.
What did I say?
El Guapo.
I didn't say El Guapo.
Yeah, you did.
El Guapo. That's the Italian stereotype superhero.
That would be me.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a Super Mario Brothers.
It's just El Guapo with hair, with a pizza for hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, so El Guapo is, which I like is because it sounds like it's basically translates to the handsome, which is what we call our cat sometimes.
Handsome, yes.
So we call him the handsome.
He's just a good looking dude on a skateboard.
Yeah.
That's it.
And so we're going to have to talk about the skateboard.
Well, we're going.
No, that'll come.
Go ahead. So we can get into this.
So basically, it starts off, the story is called Stan Lee Presents Three in a Bed. I don't think Stan looked at this.
No.
There's a lot of
Stan just goes, okay.
He's just got a stamp at this point. He's like, yep.
There's a lot of things that we've read, and I go, does Stan Lee see this?
No. No. But then there's also questionable things that we know Stan Lee saw, like Nightcat.
Are you aware of Nightcat?
I mean, I know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know there was a lot of stuff Stan Lee jerked off to that he put in comic books.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what Nightcat
is. That was 100%.
And you're just like, oh, Stan Lee saw this. Yeah. All right, now I feel weird.
Now you know what he says when he comes.
Yeah.
Excelsior! That's what he always says when he orgasms.
We start off and we get to meet El Guapo and his, civilian identity, Robbie Rodriguez. He is in bed with his lady and he...
Consuela.
It was Consuela, and basically he's saying, like, well, at this time, I'm going to be trying out for X-Statics.
Yeah. Well, first he was just like, yeah, three in a bed, just like it always is. Consuela, she's so cool. She knows she has to share me. But it's not drawn with another person in this bed.
Right.
But there is a skateboard lying, like, leaning against the wall. And I'm assuming that that is the third in this relationship, because as it goes on, that you figure out that the skateboard's not like a regular skateboard.
No.
Well, here's the thing, too, because I didn't... And it's great because it pays off well at the end.
Yeah.
But then you get to, like, this one panel, and it's like, the board would like some oil, he's saying here. And I'm like, is he talking about his dick?
That's what I thought he was talking about. I thought that's what he called his dick. I was like, I don't know. I'm not going to judge.
I was like, all right, word.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it, it's fine.
But, I call mine a rollerblade, so it makes sense. Come oil my rollerblade.
I call mine the Razor Scooter.
Oh, okay. Real 2000s. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can't mess around.
The aughts.
He's about to get in his, trial for X-Statics. And I'm confused here because, so they're watching him. Are they watching him, like, do stuff in a studio?
Yeah.
Or are they just watching? Because, like, he's, like, just carrying some, like.
They're given, like, a lot of scouting tapes and stuff.
Oh, so they're just watching tape right now.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I assumed.
Okay.
Well, because that happens a lot in the book, where they're given sort of a lot of info on someone to see if they want them on the team.
So, but it's weird, though, because you don't really see his power other than just like he's on a skateboard.
It doesn't mean anything on X-Statics. Your power isn't that important.
Right.
It's your sellability.
Right. And he's very handsome.
He's very handsome.
See, I have a problem with that, the fact that they don't have something that could be useful in a situation where somebody has to.
But they always die. Are you missing the point that they always lose?
It's like a reality TV show.
I know that they die, but what about the people that they're trying to save? I mean, I understand.
That doesn't matter.
But they put them in they're not even in good situations. They're not sent out for good things. They're sent out for press ops.
I don't know. I mean, there was that one with in the early ones where the Razorhead.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of cool.
That was pretty cool.
But they don't really win.
Well, I know, but I mean, they
kind of
stop him.
Someone dies, though, right?
Somebody dies, and they stop. Obviously,
always.
Everyone dies.
It's the Kenny comic book from South Park.
Yeah. So, but we're watching this tape, and they're like, "Well, he looks like he would work." Blah blah blah, and I guess the PR is already like into him.
Yeah,
like clearly. Somebody's already made a decision
because he's El Guapo.
He's the handsome.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, great, let's have a party. And
let's bring him on board.
Is that Kevin Smith?
Yes, they put Kevin in the book. Okay. A lot of times celebrities would show up.
What is he doing? Is he doing coke? Or is he like it looks like he's kind of like
he's like taking notes or something.
Type it like for a second I thought
sure
he was
like an inside sure it's an inside joke or something. Clearly. But yeah, they show every once in a while this book is very it's jokey, so not jokey, but it's like it gives you little Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin Smith's at a Hollywood party in the book.
Yeah, they mentioned like George Clooney apparently is there talking to Wolverine by the pool.
Well, because they're celebrities.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
They're like, you know, like the Kardashians.
Yeah.
No, well, maybe that's, I feel like
that's they're reality.
They're American Idol contestants.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yeah. So it's like the height of American Idol. It was. Everybody was like, yeah.
Yeah. It was Ruben versus Clay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The real election.
And, the only election that ever mattered.
Yeah.
And the Guapo is getting into it. He's trying to like figure out exactly, you know, he's kind of just getting an idea of like, well, they're like, hey, you know, do you want to join us?
Yeah.
So they ask him.
Yeah.
And then a situation comes up where they have to go and test him out because it's kind of already been planned.
Yes.
Because Spike Freeman, who's like their the Max Lord thing, mm-hmm. has been like, okay, we're going to we're going to put you somewhere. We're going to put them somewhere and see how he actually tries out.
Yeah.
I have a question, though. So about, maybe you can answer this. So Venus.
Yes.
Normally she doesn't have shoulders, but here she has shoulders, but it's got her energy in it. I was confused because, like, is this like, does she wear like, certain kind? Can she create kind of skins?
I don't think they ever showed you that. I don't think they ever showed her without the arms. I don't think I'd have to look it up. But
no, because in the Good Omens,
right?
She when they first bring her in, she's got like the suit that's like got the gloves that are all the way up, and you see like the power, the energy
coming through.
Coming
but
through.
I don't think on Ecstatics they ever addressed it. That's what I mean. I think she just was more normal in this issues for some reason. I don't know why.
So. I mean, it makes sense.
It's sexier to have shoulders.
Yeah. I mean, she still looks great, but I mean, it's like. Come on.
Just for the record, if there are any women with shoulders out there, I will clearly date you.
Right.
I don't care.
That is like the only qualification.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, they have to have shoulders.
Yeah.
If you can't do a shoulder, if you have a cuff, you get off my porch.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So everybody's like, all right, let's party. So they go out to Malaysia to do some ecstatic thing.
Sorry, go ahead. So they do the thing.
We'll do what?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And then they head on out, and immediately he's apparently hurt.
Yeah, like he falls off his board or something.
Well, because it comes in later. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not probably as powerful as they thought he was. But again, doesn't really matter when you're in ecstatics. Yeah.
No, he's pretty.
Yeah. And then we got, I like Fat back here because he's really in display of his power.
Yeah.
No, he's awesome. In the Hollywood party, too, he's half fat.
Yeah,
you notice that? It's just his lower half.
Yeah, he could do whatever. I'll be honest, I'm very...
He's awesome.
He's one of those guys where it's like I'm reading and I'm like, there's like all sorts of stuff going on with him. Like he's very faceted.
Yeah.
Well, and then
everyone's fascinated.
There's also this part because El Guapo falls off his board and what is the wolf guy's name who's not a werewolf?
Vivisector.
Vivisector. He is right there to help him. And then...
that comes into play.
What's that guy's name?
Antichrist.
He was just like, hey.
Anarchist.
Watch what you're doing.
Get.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to shoo him away because Vivisector looks overly interested in helping his teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way.
And it'll come in handy.
Yeah.
So he goes ahead, though. So Guapo gets his bearings and he starts going about doing his thing with his board.
Yeah.
But now this is the thing. I don't understand like what his actual power is with the board.
Either. That's the thing.
Again, you're both stuck on something.
No.
That is not needed.
But this is...
It's a shit team.
Right, but like, I don't actually understand how his power works.
I don't think they've shown you yet. I think it comes up in maybe the next one or the next one.
It's
just a skateboard. Like,
he does a skateboard, he hops on the skateboard, and he starts flying around on it.
He's also not a long-term member. Something also to keep in mind.
Clearly, okay. Right. But I mean, it's like,
die?
Does he... Well, does he? But he like.
He does.
But he like. Does he cut their throats with his board?
He
or
can.
That?
Yeah, he can. Yeah. He can cut their throats with the board.
Yeah. So he like. He's like. He gets on his board and he's like, I'm going to show this shit. Dupe tape this because it's on.
Mm-hmm.
And so he like almost scalps his other teammates with his because he's a little bit too close. And as he's trying to get the bad guy, he literally clotheslines himself with a fucking tree.
Yeah. Ugh. Again, very ecstatic. It's very on brand.
Yeah. Which this should have ruined that beautiful face, but it did not because this is a comic book.
Yes.
So
thankfully he did not have. I mean, he's pretty hard up though in hospital.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is the hospital because it's like a spa because what's his name in the suit?
Hospital.
It's a spa hospital. The guy in the suit back here, he's totally naked, just walking around.
Right.
Well, that's like his sensitivity. I'm assuming it's some sort of sensitivity chamber.
Yeah, he has to do that in order to recharge.
I'm sure Dupe is filming that.
Well, actually, hang on here. Wait, so I'm looking at, what's her face? Okay, so now she's got, like...
Dead girl?
No, Venus. Like, okay. Now she's got, like, kind of regular...
I think she can just make them go back and forth. I think that's the thing. Like, she can choose,
she's a shapeshifter,
right?
Because she's shapeshifter.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, she could do a lot of
things. So they're like, well, he's going to live. He's going to say something. And what he says is, give me my board. And they're like, oh, we left it back in Venezuela or wherever they were, the Philippines, somewhere. And they're like, oh, we have to go get it. So they do. And then, of course, they're talking to Vivisector, and they're like, man, stop. Because Vivisector really likes El Guapo.
Vivisector is homosexual.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he is all into El Guapo.
Let me get this straight. So he had a thing with fat, or he was in, they manufactured it so that they were, and this is in the previous issues,
okay,
that he were, they were like supposed to be an item, but he didn't know if he was gay.
I don't remember it that well.
Yeah.
But I do remember that he was stuck on fat for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But then now he was
makes so much more sense. Because like, why is fat just like busting his balls?
Yeah, because he's very, very upset. Yeah.
So we find out that El Guapo really shit the bed on this mission because kind of drunk.
But is it yes, but also having some issues with his main source of power.
His main source of power.
The
and
skateboard.
He's like, how do you guys do this? Because we were,
yeah,
wow.
The ecstatics are huge partiers. That's something. They live a Hollywood lifestyle because that's what they have to do as a team. And then every once in a while, they're sent out to like have photo ops and fight people. And when they're there, they're usually still drunk.
But, okay. So,
what they do actually is they have these magic pills that makes them sober instantly.
Yeah.
Which,
they're just roofies. But they're on their own, and yet they still have the kind of like this connection with the X-Men, and you know the help that Professor Xavier gives.
Well, they later get Spider-Man as a cameo in the book.
Yeah,
yeah.
But in the sense that, does he not have like any sort of like, you know, idea of? Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong here because I'm thinking like, well, because it's not like he had like any like hand in like X-Factor. He doesn't have any.
No,
I'm being like, for some reason, I'm just like, I'm a little bit like,
you're giving a lot of power to ecstatics.
It's a reality TV show.
Yeah, this is a reality TV show comic book.
What channel can I watch this show?
Listen, you can come to my house. I have the omnibus.
Is this on MTV?
Yeah, I could just give you the whole thing. It was like $30. I bought it once. It was great.
Is this also like the Real World?
The whole thing.
Yeah.
So, it's great. It's great and terrible.
So El Guapo, they're also kind of upset with El Guapo because he has this long-term girlfriend.
Yes.
That he loves and he doesn't want to break
up
with her.
You can't have a girlfriend when you're in ecstatics.
It's like being in a boy band.
Exactly.
That you have to appear
single, your life.
So
your dick 12-year-olds dick gotta work.
Will put you on their wall.
Yeah.
But he's like, nah, man, that ain't me. So...
Guap's killing it.
Pretty much. But of course, he succumbs to stardom.
He has a threesome.
He has a threesome.
A real threesome.
A real one
with
ladies.
Yeah.
And of course, Dupe is a creep.
Well, I like that the ladies are like...
Oh, the ladies are also like, oh, by the way, we fucked Zeitgeist, the former leader of the X-Force. And they say, he was insatiable, liked to fool around while watching films of battles he fought in.
Which is what what Marlon Brando used to do with his movies.
That's amazing.
I made that up, but it does seem like Marlon Brando would do that.
That sounds like a Batman thing.
Yeah. Also, the girls also said they were like, I understand you're a mutant. We're kind of mutants because we have great structure of
our
face.
Right, that's our mutant powers. Yeah. We have awesome bone structure.
So they had sex with Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist's power is to vomit. So
it's a.
I mean, that's what they
was.
Were they,
was it like a two girls one cup
one,
kind of video?
It could have been
two girls one Zeitgeist.
it very well could have been. Who knows? It could be their kink.
Yeah.
So of course,
no judgment here.
Exactly. So of course, this gets out. And it's all over the news, the paper, actually, literal physical.
Because
paper.
A dupe, he's a snitch.
Yeah. And so Consuelo breaks up
again. I mean, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's just because I have to, I feel like I'm getting like kind of screwed up.
You were getting so.
No, because I'm getting kind of screwed up because like, this is the period of comics that I wasn't reading. So I'm like trying to figure out like, well, in this period of time was the ecstatics and the idea of having a mutant team. Able to be okay, or a mutant team like this be the biggest thing in the world that people are paying attention to in the news.
But look at the Kardashians are all over the front page of all the gossip.
And I think that they were mentioned in other books during this time as sort of like the losers.
Okay.
They were mentioned as like a reality show.
Okay. I'm sure people don't actually like them, but they're all over, you know, USA.
And when they
today,
put Spider-Man with them and stuff, there were times that... And doesn't Logan show up for a second?
He's at the party.
He was talking to George Clooney.
Yeah, but he is drawn in one of the panels. Holding a beer.
Oh, yeah. So, like, you know, they were sort of just the Hollywood version of Marvel. That was what they saw it as, yeah.
Why am I so affected by this?
I don't know.
This is really weird because I'm kind of like, we're talking about this and I'm feeling kind of angry.
I get that.
You might need to like look deep inside yourself and find out like why this book is triggering.
Should I bring this to therapy?
Yes, you should.
Do you feel that way about Howard the Duck? I'd hate to hear what you think about Howard the Duck.
I haven't gotten to Howard the Duck. It's weird because I read Wonder Man is a lot like this too. Because Wonder Man is like basically...
He's in Hollywood. He's a stuntman who works in Hollywood.
No, he's not a stuntman. He's an actor.
Yeah.
He's an actual actor. He was going to be in Macbeth until the last issue when they shut it down.
Yeah, that sounds like the Entourage format.
Wonder
Man
is
great. Was he also up for Aquaman at one point?
Is he almost Medi-Ian?
Queens Boulevard starring Simon Williams.
Yeah. And Zeitgeist is like, I'm cool for this too. I have sex with everything.
Like, look at these hot chicks.
Yeah.
So... After his girlfriend breaks up with him, El Guapo goes back and he's going to kick Dupe's ass. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, no.
You can't kick Dupe's ass. That's against the rules.
Yeah. Don't hurt Slimer.
Is it like he's kind of like the good version of Lakitu in the Mario games with the camera.
Oh, yes. By the way, congratulations on that deep pull of the name
say,
of
like,
the character
shit,
in Super Mario that holds the camera.
About?
You can't beyond King Koopa. I can't get you. But congrats on that.
Yeah, good job. Mm-hmm. So they're like, don't kick his ass. You know, this is going to be all over the papers anyway. So he goes to his room.
Yeah.
It
appears he's arguing with Consuelo.
Right. And it sounds like they're having some sort of horrible domestic violence problem.
Yeah.
Because there's thwacks and smacks and ouches. But we get inside and it's his board floats on its own.
He's fighting with his board.
And it's hitting him.
and it seems as if he's in a love triangle with Consuelo and the board.
Because the board really liked her.
The board needs oil.
Yeah.
The board does need oil.
Needs to be lubed.
just don't hit him in the face.
Right. And then it does make you think maybe he got hit in the face in the last panel.
Yeah.
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 And then you're out in the mix.
And then that's it. And then El Guapo.
They go to a Hollywood premiere.
Yep. With sexy El Guapo.
Yep.
I think we'll go back to our panel real quick.
Sorry, which one?
Is El Guapo, who's...
Wait.
It looks like Mr. Sensitive is doing a dab.
weird premonition. Yeah, it does look like that.
That's the book. Yeah. That is
Ecstatic number 11, 2003. Yeah. Mark, was it me? 2003, whatever.
Yeah, that's about right.
August 2003.
Yeah.
I don't have to ask you if you're going to read the next issue.
I read everything.
You read it.
I have every. That's what I was going to say. When I pass away and I give my child their inheritance, the only single paperback, like only single comics I kept, I sold all the rest of my singles, so just for trade paperbacks.
Yeah.
I have every Ecstatics.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So my kid's going to be like, "Who's this fucking monster?"
What's with this fat guy?
Yeah, what is going on?
He's getting fat. I don't like this.
Yeah, he's going to be like, I'm sure they loved this back in 2003. I'm sure it was the biggest comic in the world. No, it wasn't. Oh, okay. All right, good to know.
No one read it.
Yeah, good to know.
That is literally the Metal Men for my dad.
Yeah, that's what this is for me. Yeah,
that's it.
Would you read the next issue?
I actually would. It's fucking weird.
It's weirdly addictive.
Yeah, and it's also a little bit meta, which I
kind of
like. So,
and by the way, they've done this kind of stuff again in other comics, it never is as good. They've done the reality show gimmick. They've done Image had one of just about a reality show. Like a bunch of people have tried this, and this is the best.
Well, the whole premise behind Civil War starts because of a reality show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, because with the New Warriors, we're doing a reality show, and they chased Nitro to some place in Connecticut, and that's...
Oh, and that blew up the thing. Oh, I remember that well. I remember that well. Yeah,
and that's what that was based on.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. So, but no, I would totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And there's an omnibus. There's a full collection of everything you need, and it's on sale a lot. So.
Yeah, and it's not a lot. It's not like the Acts of Vengeance omnibus that I want to buy.
No.
But
you don't have to take out a loan.
No, man. No. But this is good stuff. So
that's ecstatic.
It's also bad though.
No, yeah.
It's both. I have a thing for shit that's so bad it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is
one of those things you also have to know. One of the reasons Ecstatics went away, even though Milligan and Allred have went on to be huge deals in comics.
Allred was already a huge deal.
Yeah. But I mean, even huge. And so what they tried to do to get attention was Dead Girl was going to bring Princess Di into Ecstatics. The actual Princess Di. They were going to name her Princess Di. It was going to look like her, the whole thing. And like 3 weeks before they went to press, there was like a huge backlash.
That's hilarious.
And so they changed it to a different kind of princess with a different name, and they gave her a different hair color and fixed her face a bit. And it really never recovered because it would have been such a big deal to have Princess Di. And I think everyone was just disappointed.
Yeah.
But bummer. Some great stuff happens.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that would have been amazing, actually.
And if there's ever anyone in the world that can get me an Ecstatics t-shirt, because I think they made them, but like you had to get them as promo or something. But God, I want one so bad.
I'm surprised they don't make. That's the thing. It's like you're kind of the same boat as me, where it's like I go to like places like the Wonder Cons or the Comic Cons. I'll see the shirts. I'm like, okay, do you guys have like Red Tornado shirts?
Yeah.
Or like,
and they don't, right?
They don't have anything that figures. Yeah. I'll just turn it around.
Warlock.
They don't have like they don't have anything I like. There's nothing for me here.
Redbubble does have them. So I'll buy one, but it's Redbubble, meaning fans made them.
You can get a lot of like Zazzle and stuff like that. They make a lot of stuff like that, which is fan. Yeah. Fine. You know,
it's cool.
So but that's Ecstatics, and we will be back with our next book.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Stephen Kramer Glickman. You guys know me from TV show Big Time Rush. You may know me as Trevor on Workaholics, but some of you just know me as a comedian. And guess what? I've got this awesome show. It's called The Nighttime Show, and we're doing it right here on Sideshow Network. You can check out the show live at the Hollywood Improv, but guess what? You can also check out the podcast,
Steven,
which is going to be here from now on the Sideshow Network. It's really, really cool. I'm bringing my entire team, all my guys, and some of the most incredible people you've ever met. Look, it's a live late night show. We have great stuff, bits. We talk about things that are happening in the news. Comedians come on the show. Rappers come on the show. Famous voiceover actors. People from your childhood. It's a very unpredictable show. Sometimes it gets uncomfortable, but it's always a lot of fun. All right.
Hey, Steven.
Yes, Robbie.
Steven, your car's on fire.
Okay. Look, it's the nighttime show is every Wednesday with me, Steven Kramer Glickman. And if you're in Hollywood, join us live at the Hollywood Improv for the stage show.
Steven,
you are not going to forget it.
Steven.
Check improv.com for more details.
Steven, I tried peeing on the fire and it only made it angrier.
Why would you pee on the fire?
Because I'm trying to put the car out.
Robbie.
The car is on fire, Steven.
Robbie. Okay, listen, guys. Download, rate the show, subscribe on iTunes, or check with us on the sideshownetwork.tv/nighttimeshow.
Steven, hurry. Your Academy Award-winning car is on fire.
Oh, my God.
Steven, you're my ride home.
I got to go. My car is
on fire. Steven, the fire is angry.
My car is on fire. I got to go. Oh, my God.
All right. We're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. We have our next book, which it's a returning book. Actually, I just realized we haven't done this book since like very early in our run.
We ended up reading a Christmas issue, I believe.
Christmas issue.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Of your Nazi book? You read a Christmas issue?
Yes.
Okay. Good to know.
That one was not nearly as racist and Nazi ridden as this one.
But it did have a lot of debauchery and the Phantom Stranger carrying food with his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's right. He was just carrying French fries.
Carrying like, hot food with his hands. And then,
instead of a plate.
And then there was some fighting.
This comic book feels a lot like if you picked up 6 Feet Under in season 4.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you're like, what's going on here? Like, listen, I can't do this with you.
Right.
I can't start to tell you what happened with this family. It just felt like there were so many moments where I was like, holy shit, you have to be real into this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I can actually maybe do preface this a little bit.
Yes. Oh, boy.
So, So Guy Gardner, we're doing Guy Gardner Warrior, number 23 from...
Also, we all went to school with a Guy Gardner. That's not even a special name. You know what I mean? Like, Guy Gardner is, it's like, it's almost what we would call the guy who does our, you know, like, lawn.
Totally.
Yeah,
well, he was like, basically, like, a gym teacher, jock kind of guy. So the premise, are you familiar with Guy Gardner?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I looked it up a little bit, but no.
Okay, so basically,
it is the best way to be.
Yeah.
Stay in the dark about Guy Gardner.
Let me explain Guy Gardner to you. Guy Gardner is what at one point was a Green Lantern,
mm-hmm.
because he originally was supposed to be the guy that the ring went to after Abin Sur died initially, but it was he was too far away.
Okay.
So Hal Jordan was
like
closer.
Physically?
Yes.
And then Hal Jordan got it instead?
Yes.
That's a ridiculous thing.
That's like if Cal Ripken didn't end up playing shortstop because there was a guy before him.
Yeah.
Or no, I guess it would be like Cal Ripken plays shortstop, but there was a guy below him who was supposed to get the job, and then Hal Jordan takes it forever. That's the reference, right?
Pretty much. Wow. Yeah. But what happened was, you know, eventually, and he was still a character that stuck around at certain points, and then.
But why didn't Guy got it? Because he was physically too far?
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's the actual reason.
But then they kept him as a runner-up.
They kept him around. Well,
let's get him a ring anyway.
But here's the thing. There's been a lot of Green Lantern. There's been three. There's been, four. Shit. What am I talking about? So because you've had Jon Stewart, you had Kyle Rayner, you had Guy Gardner, and you had Hal.
Mm-hmm.
Hal was the first. Actually, Alan Scott before that. Yes. But Guy Gardner, you know, in the Silver Age, it was, you know, Jon Stewart ended up becoming the second one.
Uh-huh.
But then eventually both of them, they decided they needed two for Earth, I think. And I'm probably wrong on this, but maybe I feel like there was another two for Earth, or one was gone, another was away.
Well, didn't Hal get evil or something at one
point? That was much later on. That's actually much after this here, too.
Okay.
So Guy became the Green Lantern of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he had... so he was doing it, and he joined the Justice League and all that stuff. And eventually, in the book we covered on the show, because Hal got brought back as the Green Lantern. And
Guy was like, what the fuck?
Guy was like, what the fuck? And right. Then they were like, well, we should fight each other to see who wins.
And then clearly, Guy Gardner doesn't make it.
Guy Gardner got his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a great issue because we got to see how Guy Gardner lives. You know, you can imagine, so...
You know, also like a mean rich guy would be like Guy Gardner, woman housekeeper. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
also like how he would be called. Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Because actually, this is one of my favorite things about Guy Gardner. He lives like we have to see how Guy Gardner lives. He lives like Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Or Charlie Kelly?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like a shitty apartment.
Yeah, like the worst apartment, just like full of food and roaches.
In his case, he has they couldn't call it Playboy, so they called it Playman.
Okay.
And then they also had I think it was just a book just called Guns. You know, because
he's a maniac.
He's a bro.
Yeah.
And but eventually what happened was he lost that ring, but then he got a yellow power ring, but he wasn't evil, but he was using that as his primary.
And that's how he became warrior.
No. Well, yes. I mean, basically he became warrior, and he got this ring, and then they had this book with him with the yellow ring, and then something happened.
Guy Gardner yellow ring? Guy Gardner yellow ring? Was that what it was called? What was it called?
It was called Guy Gardner warrior.
Okay, still warrior.
None of this makes sense.
I kept on being calling warrior, because he went through a bunch of phases, and then eventually what happened was he went to... Oh, so he lost the ring, and then he ended up getting like this fancy exoskeleton of something that he was using. And then after what?
I just want to look at this.
Oh, after
this is ridiculous.
After 0 hour,
we have to talk about this book.
After 0 hour, he, which is like one of those reboots that they did.
Yeah,
he found out, and as he does in this issue, sort of that because he drinks this water. And he becomes, he realizes that he has alien DNA in him.
What the fuck?
And he becomes like painted up, and he has like hands that turn into things, kind of like Fat could. I mean, actually, like.
I love the idea that this makes sense to you, but X Addicts was too much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Too much.
All right, let's talk about this book.
Yeah, let's just get into it.
I'm just like blown away by it, because basically what you're telling me is that the only reason Guy Gardner was not the first Green Lantern is because he was too far away to get the ring. So it's basically
geographically unavailable.
Right. So basically it's like being in a stadium when somebody shoots a t-shirt.
He was up to 405,
too far.
Too fucking far
away. Too late
away.
Traffic.
And now
I like that you make it as a t-shirt gun.
It's a t-shirt gun. You're in the stadium. Somebody shoots the t-shirt gun, and you are too far away to catch the t-shirt.
Yeah, you're in the section. You're in 200s.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. And now we're going to talk about a guy who's going to drink water from a skull.
Yeah.
With Nazi dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the on the cover, it's basically Guy, and he's got the skull.
What number is like, this?
Okay, I'm sorry. Guy Gardner number 23 from August 1994.
Okay.
He is holding a skull on there on the cover, and he's surrounded by his tiger friend. I don't know his name. And a bunch of native-looking women. It looks very, like, low-rent Italian movie from, like, the early 80s. You know, something that they would dubbed and put on like Cinemax or Showtime at like 2 o'clock, and you know, made and eventually throw in some sex scenes and make an Emmanuel movie.
Yeah. Hot Springs Hotel,
but with Guy Gardner.
Right.
Yeah. But now we're looking at the title of the book is called Marauders of Naba, Chapter 2, Wet Dreams.
Yeah, which is bonkos.
Which that off the top, I mean, Wet Dreams. It's like, I'm like you couldn't think of anything else to call this.
And also, it doesn't even, whatever, it doesn't really come into play.
It does. Sure. No, it does, because there's water.
I still, though. I knew that. I just don't think it's a good play on words compared to what we end up seeing.
Agreed.
Yes. Was chapter one known as Morning Wood?
Yeah.
Probably was.
Yeah. So. Early Morning Blowies was the third one.
Chapter three, post-coital nap.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're watching a battle here between guy's got his tiger dude that he hangs. I don't know what this guy's name is.
There's a shape shifting tiger man.
They're all shape shifting.
No, he's a regular though. He's not shifting.
Wait, I thought he was.
He's full tiger man.
But they say in this book, like, isn't everybody here a tiger? So this guy's an actual tiger man, but there are also
he's tiger man because he doesn't shape shift back into a human.
If I was this guy, I'd be like, fuck you guys. I'm the actual tiger. Don't shapeshift into my thing. Right. Shapeshift into other things that aren't here.
Right.
Well,
That's like getting a genie and wishing for the same thing three times. I'm here.
Want another genie.
I'm here to grant your wish. Okay. Can I get a sandwich? a sandwich? And a sandwich? And he's like, that's what you want? Yeah, okay. I want three sandwiches.
Exact same
pick,
sandwich.
Pick other shit.
Do you want mayo on all three? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Do. Make it the exact same. I don't want to be special.
All from Mendocino Farms, please.
Yeah, I don't want to be special at all.
No.
So they're fighting. What?
No, go ahead.
So while they're fighting, I don't know who they're fighting. They're fighting some guy.
They're fighting a Nazi.
Okay, they're fighting a Nazi.
Yeah.
And they have like their women guide with them. Actually, I like also guys wearing his hat. Like, everybody's got baseball hats in this one. It's a very...
That's because they're in the jungle and they're protecting their head from...
And their hair.
From birds. I don't fucking know. What do you wear hats for in the jungle?
Man, you really get specific on certain things that are fucking ridiculous around it. Mm-hmm. I can't believe they're wearing a hat. Anyway, he's fighting a Nazi with a tiger man.
I'm a producer. I worry about details.
Yeah, it's very detailed.
So they're fighting. They hop down this basement. And what does she do here? Does she like he's got explosives on him. I just realized this.
Yeah, so she knows that there's like a trap door and they jump in it. And then I believe she shoots his explosives and he explodes.
Yep. Boom.
While screaming in German.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, that was amazing. And what's her name again?
Esperanza.
Oh, Esperanza, that was amazing. How'd you know that was here? And they're like, she's like, you pay me to know this is here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good job.
So
money well spent.
Now they're in.
So now we're talking back to where the Nazis are, and the Nazis have, as we pointed out earlier, dinosaurs
with swastikas.
They have swastika headbands, like swastika like headgear.
Yeah.
So
we learned about in elementary school.
Oh yeah.
Dinosaurs with the Nazis.
There's so many times that they just like dig up dinosaurs and like another one of these fucking headbands.
Is this like that scene in Idiocracy when they're like talking about? I feel like they're going through the time machine and there's like a somebody's riding a dinosaur. And I think it's Hitler. Against the Un.
Yeah, that does.
You
happen.
Mean the Creationism Museum where Jesus rides a dinosaur? That's an actual thing.
Yeah.
I remember there being a Nazi dinosaur in Idiocracy, no?
Maybe.
Maybe. It's been a long time.
Okay.
But Spaceballs isn't funny anymore.
Okay.
Just remember that. If you come away with anything from this episode, Spaceballs isn't funny.
Yeah, so there's a... Now, are these... They're not robot dinosaurs. These are like legit real dinosaurs.
No, they seem real, yeah.
These are full meat dinosaurs.
Yeah, they seem real.
Swastika headbands.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, we'll go.
You didn't make swastika sound Jewish, though. You said swastika.
Did I?
Yeah, which is great.
Sorry.
This is Lisa Swastika. You may know her. She grew up in Encino. Are you going to Lisa Swastika's bar mitzvah?
Yeah, let's go to her bar mitzvah. Good to hear. It's going to be fun. Yeah,
good to hear.
taking it back. So they're like, all right, we'll go find those people. Oh, there's also zombies in this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so don't forget that. Zombies, yeah. Dinosaurs, Nazis.
And animals.
And people who can fucking shapeshift.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, we'll go find Guy Gardner in his stupid baseball cap. And so they're like driving. So he is on a motorcycle with Esperanza.
Yeah.
And he's like, hold on tight to me. And she's like, oh, you better pay attention to the road instead of my, and I don't know what he would be looking at.
Butthole. I figured it was butthole.
It must be, because obviously he can see it from where he is.
She's wearing Daisy Duke, so I thought it was butthole.
Yes, it must be butthole, because she is wearing the shortest of shorts.
She is. But it doesn't work out. They fly off the motorcycle.
They get clotheslined, pretty much just like El Guapo.
Yeah.
In a jungle, getting clotheslined.
They land next to El Guapo.
They
He's
do.
Like, where's my board, yo?
Yeah. And so they're like, haha, we'll smash Guy Gardner in the face, who also, by the way, has an eye patch.
Oh, yeah. He's like,
for indeterminate reason.
Maybe he's got Dice syndrome. Okay. Actually,
oh, shit. Okay. Go ahead. Tell your story.
You know what? You want to hear a good story about Dice?
Sure.
Okay. So I used to work at the Second Spin.
When we first moved here.
Yeah, I first moved here. I used to work at the Second Spin of Ventura.
Yes, I know it.
One day,
I lived right near there.
Dice came by.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Andrew Dice Clay. Well, actually,
I thought you meant Dice Gay. It's Sume, the pitcher from the Seattle Mariners. Oh, then I don't want to hear the story.
actually, no. I was talking about Punisher Dice Morgan, one of the early people, one of the early personas of the Undertaker in Memphis.
Fair.
No, so I'm sitting there, and I'll cut to more of the chase. So he's walking around, and I see him. Well, I thought it was a woman, and because he's like a lesbian woman wearing like a sleeveless shirt and a fanny pack.
Yeah. I've seen that persona out in the world.
Yeah.
And I go up and I'm like, help! I didn't pay much attention. I'm going to help somebody else and helping some pretty girl. And she's like, oh, I'm looking for her. And then all of a sudden, I was like, hey, she's with me. I'm looking for music to fuck to.
That's what he did?
Oh, yeah.
That's so dope. That's like being dunked on by Michael Jordan. Like Dice Clay did his thing in front of you, but go ahead.
That's exactly. He's like, I'm looking for music to fuck to, right?
So dope.
And I'm like, well, there's, you know, like, I'm looking for a good driving beat. I'm looking for something.
Looking for something I could get my dick hard to.
Well,
hey.
Well, the best part of this, so we go up like, well, we should go to the dance section and see. And so he starts like looking at CDs, like this one CD.
Is the girl with him or no?
Oh, yeah, she's with us. She's with us. Like,
I didn't know if he was being like Dice, like, she's with me. I didn't know if he was doing like a thing.
But he's
wasn't he looking for Enrique Iglesias?
Well, he was looking for. He's like, well, I'm looking for this Enrique Iglesias song. It's like, I want to fuck you tonight, you know?
It's amazing.
Because there is a song like that.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm like walking around. And he's like, I'm looking for music to fuck you. So I'm looking around, and you know, he's looking at CDs, and you know, and one of them is like says Kinky. And I was like, yeah, this one says Kinky. This one's perfect. You know, like he's.
It's amazing.
He's being awesome, and you know, and he's got the gloves. He's got the dyed hair because you can see it's gray, but it's like it's black. So he's looking around and, you know, we find him his stuff and then he goes to, so mind you though, he's wearing an eye patch.
Okay.
The whole time.
Which is crazy.
But he's not wearing.
I can't believe you buried that lead.
Right?
Go on, yeah.
What? Yeah, no,
that's how we got an eye patch. Yeah. Very important.
I just like telling the story, but so he's wearing the eye patch, but he's not wearing the eye patch on his head.
He's not wearing the eye patch on his eye.
It's above his eye.
So weird.
Which I thought, I go, maybe he was doing the cigarette trick and he burned himself.
Oh, right.
You know, he was like, oh, ow, oh, injury, eye patch.
Right.
So, but he's walking around and then he comes and he cashes out, whatever. And he leaves. My coworker's like, I go, man, that was weird. Dice, man. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you know, he had conjunctivitis and everything. And I go, what? I go, you couldn't tell by the pink eye that he was walking around with?
He would cover it. But I get it. Yeah.
But he wasn't covering it.
Wow.
He was wearing it above his head, like some sort of like.
And he was like, touch my eye. And you did. It's super weird.
We were sick for months. Yeah, it was really terrible.
He used to buy soap. I dated a girl who worked at a soap store, and he used to buy soap there. And she was always like, he's so polite. He would walk in and be like, I want some soap to fuck to. Like, he just, it was like a normal life.
But
he was with that chick, though. He was really trying to put it on thick for that chick.
Yeah, I think he did well. Yeah, he was very nice. And he came in another time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a few people that came in there, but Dice was always cool.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
so that's the eye patch story.
So he's got pink eye.
Poor green guy Gardner is in a jungle and he has pink eye.
Yeah.
And he gets whacked in the face with a gun. And so they're like, we're gonna leave you here, and we're gonna go rape this chick.
Yeah.
So they like haul her off into the woods, and she is a shapeshifter, like a lizard shapeshifter, a gecko of some sort.
It's a gecko.
Is this the Geico Gecko? Yeah, is that his sister?
This is a tie-in.
It's all in canon.
So this is the sister of the Geico lizard, and she kills everybody. Actually, fucking in a very cool way. She just explodes them and shoves them into the hole in a tree, which I have to appreciate.
She also kills a bunch of squirrels that were living in the tree.
Yeah.
The jungle squirrels.
Keebler elves.
They're all dead now. So
it's also another tie-in. That's what
it all ties in. It's all the same universe.
It just has a little box that says the Keebler elves also died in that last one. Please
small
buy cookies.
Yeah. It's
just a little editor box.
Keebler elves die. Please buy cookies.
Yeah.
As she's, shoving people in trees, Guy Gardner rallies, kicks a dude in the junk, and then...
Actually, I have a question. Okay, I'm confused by his fighting here. Let me put that down.
This part where he, like, basically
so
kicks
he's,
the guy so hard, it looks like
he... Somehow, he's, like, on his knees, and then he, like, is able to garner enough momentum from his knees...
Guy Gardner? He's able to Guy Gardner enough?
Yeah. He's able to garner enough... Gardner...
Told you, it's gonna mess
with
you.
Yeah.
To kick a guy hard enough... in the junk from his knees, because he's magic. Say, if you're on your knees and like, does he stand up real quick and does like a Russian dance kick?
Yes,
like that.
What is not in this book is that he was a member of Riverdance at one point.
Again, something you're having a problem with. Again, there are dinosaurs with swastikas on them, but this is the problem about the physics of a kick that you have.
He was just in Riverdance. Just go with that.
This is 90% of our show.
Yeah, sure.
This is all we. This
just
is
being like, I don't know about this thing, but. The UFO, I'm fine with.
Fine with the dinosaur swastika,
and the woman sucking guys with trees. Like, so, but she, and then he's also like flips everybody over.
I don't know how he does that.
I don't know how he does that because like they're not even like they're kind of holding, but he kind of uses like his wrist.
Sure.
And they have he does a Japanese arm drag.
Sure.
I don't know, but he kicks their asses, and then he's like, "Oh my God, Esperanza, are you okay?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm good." And then there's just like, blood and shit everywhere.
It's rad.
It's pretty sweet. So then we cut back to more of. Their party fighting the zombie Nazi guys. And one of them is fighting with a flamethrower, so she looks like that chick from Alien, and that's pretty sweet. Alien 2. You know which one I'm talking about.
You talk about Jeanette?
Yeah. In Aliens.
Because
she's got the fucking flamethrower. It's pretty sweet. So they're fighting, and then Guy Gardner comes up and hits a guy in the head.
Okay.
And
here comes the snake.
And then he was like, how fucking dare you do this to me? By the way, I am a snake.
He
knocks off his fez, and the guy's like, dude, my fucking fez. And he turns into
guess what, I'm a snake.
A cobra snake with arms.
This is where I was like, what the fuck?
Right?
This is where I was like, did I take a mushroom?
Yeah.
And I'm reading a comic.
That's the thing. I was like, whoever fucking wrote this, man, was high as shit.
Yeah.
This book also went on for another like 12 issues.
Yeah, I don't know.
How?
I don't know, because you kind of peaked with the snake with the tiny arms. But,
yeah. You can't get any bigger.
It's like a T-Rex snake arm, that guy. So they fight, and then...
Yeah, this is a big chunk of it, the fight here.
Yeah, there's a huge fight, and so Tiger Man jumps in, and then a gorilla lizard?
It's Grape Ape.
Is this Grape Ape?
This sucks too, because there's a chapter in my book that's just like this.
Oh, just this?
Yeah.
Is this after the Kanye chapter?
Yeah. There's another chapter where I turned into a snake.
Grape Ape owns me $50.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. I'm a snake in it, but it sucks that I had to read this comic so close to the release.
there's a lot of differences, but also a lot of similarities.
Yeah, a lot of similarities.
So as Grape Ape and Lizard Man are fighting and Tiger Man, I don't know. So a bunch of fucking... Amazon ladies show up, but they're not Amazon.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, we forgot to mention they're looking for this water.
Yeah, but we don't know that until like now.
Warrior, well, probably was something happened before where they're like, well, we're in this woods or the jungles, and we're looking for this warrior water because I think he's kind of like Guy Gardner's kind of in between where he doesn't have any powers, but he still wants to be, you know, like he still has a book, so he has to do some shit. And, you know, he's got these friends that are like, you know, fighting people. And so he, you know, and he owns his bar. Also, he owns a bar at this time, too.
Sure.
He has a bar. He has a bar called Warriors.
He's literally the most divorced dad in the Marvel Universe. So sad.
This is just the week he doesn't have custody of the kids.
He has a shitty apartment and a bar. Dad's doing fine, though.
So these women show up and they're like, hey, Snake Man, give us Guy Gardner and we'll give you this water. We have very unrealistic clothing.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that works.
Well, they're jungle people. They know how to they have to work what they have, you know?
Wrangle leaves, cloths with nothing but cloth, but okay, whatever. So they're like, oh, all right, well, we'll trade this. And Snake Man drinks the water. And he's like, I don't feel anything, but then it makes him explode.
Yep.
Because it's not meant for him. It's like the Grail.
It's like the
drinking
whole,
from the Grail in Last Crusade.
Yeah. So
which is what they probably were like, hey, well, let's just do.
Well,
they even
reference Indiana Jones in this book later. Yeah. So all the women
it's
are
totes
like
Indiana.
Start chanting warrior, and they're like, hey, Guy Gardner, you just happen to be. Look exactly like this dude we have etched into one of our temples.
What if it ended up looking like the Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, sorry, made a quick mistake.
Sorry, wrong one. And then he gets blown up by the water.
Yeah.
So they're like, here, you go get the water. We will fight the Nazi dinosaur.
Right. Mm-hmm,
so literally we have Nazis riding dinosaurs attacking Amazonian type ladies.
Yeah. And I read this on Passover. So keep that in mind.
And the dinosaurs also, we must mention, have chain guns mounted on the side of them.
Well, you know, they got to have some sort of projectiles.
And the Amazon ladies only have spears, so they're fighting and whatever.
And Guy Gardner has a leather couch. Yeah. Like all divorced dads.
It's got a rip in it. He's got some duct tape.
Yeah, I love it, though.
He's beating them up with rolled up Playmans.
Yeah, I love it. I'm not lonely.
No. This is when dad starts wearing hip jeans.
Yeah, and calling Postmates every night.
Yeah, yeah.
A super sad existence.
So, Guy Gardner falls down a shaft of some sort where he meets, I don't know, some guy.
He meets one of his alien ancestors that we come to find out because basically, so
is?
You know how like how that looks?
It.
He looks like ends up looking like that. He ends up having like the face, the chest pain. He ends up eventually looking like a cheap indie pro wrestler kind of gimmick where it's like, I'm the warrior.
And he's covered in that like glowing athletic tape, basically.
Yeah.
Crush.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's called a crush.
Yeah. I get it.
And they're like, oh my God, it's you. Never mind. Continue on. And so he like gets sucked into a sand pit and then spit out somewhere where there's like this water and a skull.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, sweet. So as that's happening.
No, he's just like, sweet.
Well,
that's
kind of what happened. He's like, sweet. And then we cut to.
No, he's just the kind of, he's kind of like, what the fuck?
We're getting there. And he's like, okay, cool. And then Esperanza is fighting Nazis, and then she's like, this is where I got really confused.
Okay.
This
is where you got confused?
Right?
Okay.
So Esperanza is like, is she following him? Is she following Guy Gardner? Because she all of a sudden is not on his side anymore.
No,
because
she never was on his side.
But then why was she on the back of his motorcycle?
Because she was the guide that they hired, but she was also a part of this cult of El Garto.
And the butthole thing.
Also the butthole thing. Yeah. It's hard when some dude won't stop staring into your butthole.
Yeah, you gotta jump in another team.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so she's like, I think this is where she, you know, reveals that she's actually, like, I think she was like a double agent.
Oh.
You know, that she wants the warrior
juice,
too.
I'm glad
too.
That was clear in this book. Well, because really what I was more focused on, and I can't blame Guy Gardner for staring in her butthole, because every time she morphs into the lizard thing.
Her shorts get shorter.
Her shorts get shorter and actually shredded off completely.
Yeah.
So,
which is dope.
You know.
It's a cool superpower.
Yeah, it's pretty great. You could just shred your own clothes off.
Yeah.
So Guy Gardner, as that's happening, she's double agenting. Guy Gardner's like, oh, I'm going to drink out of this skull and hopefully not get, and he calls them the squirts.
The Hershey squirts?
There's a shit joke for
guys, you know, 1996, 94.
Yeah, and so then...
Kid, you know, I was 14, that was fun.
Yeah, and so, I don't know, there's this guy. Who's this guy?
What is he?
Hold on.
Is it Wargo?
Buck.
Oh, Buck Wargo.
Is that Buck Wargo?
Buck Wargo, that's like his, he's like the main, like the
he's
guy that...
friend.
The friend, he's like the friend with the money... That's like, hey man, I need you. We should go get this.
He's the dad friend who's still married.
Yeah, he's the other dad that hangs out with him.
Money
and that gets him into like crazy adventures.
Got it.
Oh yeah.
He's like, hey man, we should go out to Vegas and like
and
do
a
this
super
thing.
Understanding wife.
He's your unemployed best friend.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. Then. Yeah, I get it.
He's wealthy.
Yeah.
He's wealthy, but
he's from his parents.
Wealthy from his parents.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he's you know, and his name is Buck Wargo.
Yeah.
And that's his dude.
Yeah. Okay.
He's the Hilton son.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah, I get it.
So he saves Buck from getting killed by Esperanza. And
Well, hang on.
What?
You're burying a little lead a bit here.
I'm
so,
sorry. Is there a lead here? I missed it if there is.
So because she sees him and she's like, I'm about to kill him. And guy pops up just at the right time.
Right.
And she throws like a column at him. And he jumps in the way and pushes Buck out of the way and manages to take the brunt of this thing. And just as that's about to, you know, they're thinking, oh, shit, guy's dead. No, he reappears wearing this exoskeleton, which actually I'm confused
bit. This is, I didn't realize this was an exoskeleton. I just assumed since everybody else in this fucking book was a shapeshifter, I thought that was her arm. Because it's the same
color. Yeah, it's real shit.
Color.
It wasn't a good part. Even when I read it, I was like, I don't like this part.
I was like, I don't even understand. Like, I'm supposed to be like, oh my God, the water. Because
he hasn't reached his final form yet. Because
no.
This is what he's wearing. Is this what he's wearing when he's in, when he appears in Zero Hour. And then during Zero Hour, that's when the guns come off his arm.
Yeah, okay. None of this is good.
No, none of this is good.
Yeah,
also,
you can defend it all you like. It's
yeah,
bad.
Because yeah. Also, it looks exactly the same as this woman.
It's not good.
So the color scheme and the pattern.
It looks like the same. This is, but okay.
No, right, you know it's a fucking same. It looks exactly.
It's
the
not
same.
The same.
It's the same. It's
not- you're defending bullshit. Just so you know,
it's really
the Johnny Cochran of this podcast. You're defending something that has no defense, yet you'll somehow win.
And so, to me, I thought that was her and him fighting. I was not aware that that was his final.
Yeah, they're fighting, and so he knocks her off into
stupid.
A pit. He knocks her off into a pit,
and they also talk about her ass. By the way,
Oh yeah. They got to talk about that. Well, they're like, oh, she sucks. It sucks that she's dead. It's like, yeah, she looked good in those shorts, though.
Not anymore. Now she's a creepy shape-shifting monster.
And then she goes to fight some. She starts fighting some.
I'm assuming more shapeshifters,
crocodiles or something.
More dinosaurs.
Are these the dinosaurs?
More Nazis? I don't know. Nazi crocodiles.
Well, that's how it kind of ends. Doesn't it end on like a war on many fronts kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like an explosion or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Something.
No,
comes...
the time rift shows up because it's 0 hour. So everything's fucked.
Why not?
Start over. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're just like, fuck it.
That is the end of this book.
No better time to start over.
They're like, you know, we wrote ourselves into a hole. Fuck it.
Yeah,
time rift.
Let's get out of here.
So that's the end of Guy Gardner Warrior.
Guy Gardner Warrior number 23, number August 1964.
Yeah, that's just acid.
Jensen, would you read the next issue of this book?
Never. I would never do this again. Warrior is a terrible book. Guy Gardner is terrible. None of this is good. It's not a good book. No. No. It's not good. No.
You're not upset. I feel bad now because I'm like,
this is like your essential childhood.
Yeah.
No, it's terrible.
No, I'm sorry.
Are we shitting on your childhood?
Oh, no. It's fine because I'll continue to collect these.
Yeah. No, I know you will.
I know.
That's what makes you good for this. But it's a terrible book and nothing's good in it.
Yeah. It's hence our collection.
Now I understand.
Exactly.
So this is
now
you get
now
it.
Now you see.
I understand.
Now you get it. But
again, because. People wouldn't even use this as fuel for fire.
No.
They'd
be like, no, that storyline with the crocodile dinosaurs, don't burn that. We don't even want that in our noses.
Right.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's terrible. Yeah.
Would you read it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're going to make me read the next one eventually on this podcast.
I'll read it. I'll sit far away and I'll read it.
Good.
Good.
Yes. Well, you don't have to sit far away. It's not like it's going to infect me.
Well, don't underestimate that book. Yeah, it could.
I start wearing weird headbands.
Yeah, and an eye patch. It could. It clearly could.
Oh, no, never she's know. A weird ice. Yeah. Jensen, thank you so much for coming
on
the show.
Thank you, guys.
I hope we were able to expose you to our collection.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, we really enjoyed having you on.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's plug the book one more time.
It's called Kanye West Owes Me $300, because he does in real life. And so you can get it through jensencarp.com, K-A-R-P, and you can get all the, like, Amazon and Goodreads and all these places that have it. And then this next week, I don't know when you're going to release this, but this next week, I think I'm giving away a bunch of galley copies, a bunch of previews.
This comes out on Tuesday. So. Okay.
Yeah, I think this week I'm giving away a bunch.
Perfect.
So you can get that. But all that stuff is at jensencarp.com, K-A-R-P.
Great. Mm-hmm. And also get up on this.
Yeah, it's on the Earwolf Network. And if you follow me on Twitter, which is JensenClan88 with a C, you can see every time we post up new guests. This week is the new season of Beef Season, which is very fun.
Yeah.
And you can learn all that through my channels.
Yes, Jeff, check it out, guys. It's and also you're one of the funniest people on Twitter.
Thank you.
I'll kind of check in with like when you're like your Twitter account to see about like, you know, one of the people that I check in with to see about like, you know, pop culture stuff and just kind of see what you're counting.
That's sort of my world.
It's definitely his world, and you know, there's a lot of fun stuff there.
Thanks.
And also. Yeah, so that's it for this week. I'll try to think of something else. But SideshowNetwork.tv is where we're located at. All the great shows here, ourselves, Gilbert, you know, we got Jillian, we got...
We Hate Movies.
Oh, my God, We Hate Movies. Those are all fantastic shows, so please check us out, SideshowNetwork.tv. Also, I'm on Twitter. I'm trying to go through these things in my head. So on my Twitter is Angry Hero Sean, S-H-A-W-N. You can find me on there. My Instagram, also my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com, where I post a lot of stuff in terms of comic book panels from books like these and other crazy stuff that I am reading from our terrible collection. Jen, where can people find you?
I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com, where I still fucking review Gotham for... God only knows what reason.
It's there's dinosaurs in there now.
You guys are clearly prisoners of your own loves,
right?
Yeah, I understand it. I get it.
Did you know there's dinosaurs in Gotham now?
I've watched only once. I liked it. I saw the pilot.
Oh, that's good.
It was good.
The pilot was much better than What's Happening Now.
Oh, good to know.
But there are dinosaurs.
What's Happening Now though was a good show.
I don't know if I remember that.
What's Happening Now?
Yeah, I remember that
with rerun and.
No, I never.
You don't remember What's Happening?
Well, What's Happening? Then there was a sequel. What's Happening Now?
Oh, I didn't know there was a sequel.
It's kind of like how they did it back in the '80s, because they did a lot of those. That's how it is. They did like Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah,
it was like new Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Back at the beach was kind of like. Yeah.
All right.
So, but that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening, folks. Thank you again, Jensen.
Thank you, Jensen.
Get his book. Check him out on Twitter. Check him out everywhere. And thank you for listening, folks. We will see you guys again next week.
Bye.